Well, let's just do what Brooke prayed about. I'll see you next year. No. Always inspired because her prayer was spot on for the message today. The title that I've given it, because I don't know, just the thing to do, is it's called Write Better and Attractive. This is something that's been brewing in me a little bit. I do struggle myself through the holiday season, simply because we should be treating people this well all year long. I also have great indignation for Valentine's Day, for the same reason. I don't know. That's me. I don't really care to celebrate my own birthday. It's just another day. Should treat me that well all year long. Don't make it one day to solve all. That's a little side note. But so today, just going to dig into it. It says, the thought was, you know, the world today, the world we live in, it wants nothing more than to direct the way we think, the way we speak, and in everything we do. The idea that we must think, speak, and do according to the outline that's dictated by the culture of the day, for me, is most discouraging. It's mind-boggling. Doesn't make any sense. It's supposed to be a country for the free and the brave, and they want us to be timid. And So when you actually say stuff like this in some circumstances, particularly in the blunt way that I'll bring it forth, there's usually pushback on this idea. And you'd be surprised if, even in your own encampment, you'll still get pushback. You know, all too often we may find ourselves in a battle of words where there is no battle to be had. There's no battle to be won. Since you, and I happen to be one of these that's not on the list, I don't get the latest definition or application of the word of the day. We're going to spend a little time in Jude today. We're going to start in verse 17 of the book of Jude. It says, "But my dear friends, remember that what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts, and do not have the Spirit." See, we can easily find ourselves in the fray. And if you aren't on the enlightened list like me, you may find that you and or your point of view are nothing more than cannon fodder for this invisible war. Prepare yourself for an ambush, that ambush of emotions and name-calling. So that's usually the first indicator. But don't be disturbed. Don't be disheartened. Not that we want to be under fire, but it is not necessarily a bad thing to be. For you don't have the latest intel, you may very well find yourself at risk, and to risk any a number of things, but one thing for sure is not being able to maintain your composure. Therefore, jeopardizing the very thing you're trying to attempt to bring to a common understanding or point of view, which, by the way, understanding and point of view, particularly from the Christian perspective, is rarely wanted or tolerated. Even if you are agreeing with them, if you aren't using the verbiage or carrying the same flag, be ready for that battle. Get ready to hear the cries of vehement victimization and, at the same time, aggressive behavior. See, the lost are often aggressive victims. Does it sound funny? It's an oxymoron, an aggressive victim. They're emotional assailants decrying victimization. If we continue in Jude, in verse 20, it says, "But you, dear friends, Build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. See, here's the thing. A couple weeks ago, while I was working anymore, I don't do a whole lot of mechanicking. I run a repair facility. I find myself buried in mountains and mountains of paperwork, more and more each day. And while I was plowing through this mountain of paperwork, a simple, yet to me, a very powerful idea came. When I was, you know, when I get these kind of, blind inspirations, or as Jim would call it, downloads, I usually write them down if I can, unless I'm driving. Clearly, I can't do it then, but I like writing them down so I can look into them with a, you know, noodle it through a little bit later when I can focus on just this idea. So the idea that came to me in my autopilot state of mind was this. When you point out someone's failures, point out their bad decision-making ability, point out their bad decisions, point out their bad deeds, or point out their wickedness, this does not make you right. It does not make you better. And it does not make you more attractive. Now, the pushback on this idea, because I test these ideas out on people, the pushback on this idea was simply this. The first one, and it was almost every single time, because obviously I don't try these concepts out on the unsaved or the worldly. But it's like, well, you still have to point it out. That was always the first answer. You still have to point it out. Or you cannot let those kinds of behaviors go unchecked. Both statements are correct. However, do you hear the disconnect between the original idea and the way it was responded to? We'll get around to that. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, it says, "Brothers, if someone is caught up in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself. You also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load." So what we have is a failure to communicate. Well, really, it's a breakdown to the inability to listen. So often humans are more interested in recoiling and preparing their next statement than they are willing to actually hear and absorb what was said and respond to what they were hearing. Humans have the propensity to allegedly take the high road or compelled to take the time to demonstrate their increased intellect or comprehensive capabilities than to hear actually what is being shared and responding to the idea or statement as it lies. Now, this may seem like a condemnation of the secular. Unfortunately, it's not. So do you hear the disconnect? Allow me to repeat the idea. When you point out yada, 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 you are not made right, better, or more attractive. Now, what am I getting at exactly? This is to point out often the righteousness of God, His holy people, who use the cross as a position to be better than, therefore more than, and ultimately more righteous than, fill in the blank. The reality is not that we can expect that from the world. That's ridiculous. The world has its eyes fixed upon the wealthy. They have their eyes fixed upon the charismatic. They have their eyes fixed upon the intellectual achievers. They have their eyes simply fixed on the desires of the way they want it to be than it actually really is. Humans have the tendency to elevate themselves, and usually that comes at the expense of someone else. We are to be different. I have a simple philosophy about that kind of behavior. If you know me at all, I have lots of theories and stuff. This one is, in my repertoire, very old for me, but it is worth revisiting. Anything that is done at the expense of others is evil. Though through the years I've added an amendment to that, which in its entirety is anything that comes at the expense of others is evil, particularly when it comes as personal gain. Do you see it now? The idea says that in pointing out flaws, whether it's being needed to be said or not, it does not, nor will it ever, elevate the one doing it. It does not change the status of either party. Excuse me. It never will, and it should never be viewed as if it does. It's a trap, it's a snare, and it entangles us. If we look in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So to address this communication that I'm sharing, the download, in its entirety, I'm just going to briefly touch on it. I must say yes. Yes to calling out doing wrong. Yes to calling out wickedness. We all know the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. But the focus today is this is never an elevator of self. It is not a mall escalator that puts you on a higher level. This idea or this kind of idea is arrogant and not done in humility. It does not make you right. It does not make you better. It does not make you more attractive. Now, wait a minute. If I am directing, rebuking, or correcting by the word of God, isn't that right? Yes, that's right. That's what it says. When done in the humility of spirit. But that still doesn't make you more right. Being right, or more commonly called righteous, comes from the condition of the heart and not by deeds. The very same deed can be performed by anyone and can be done with the wrong intentions. But a right heart determines if the deed is right, and the right heart will determine if the person is right. Continuing in Jude, verse 22 and 23, it says, be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. See, there's a huge difference and there's a huge distance between someone who is right and someone who has to be right. The ability to be right and submit that being wrong is a possibility. That's humility. What is right is determined by one's condition of heart, not their perceived position. Notice also, just a side note, that having rights and being right are rarely in the same room together. As believers in Christ Jesus, we are called to walk according to humility and with love for our fellow man. I'm personally greatly frustrated with the arrogance of man and the attempts used in circumstance or of people to gain traction for their own personal agenda. This is what was on my heart as I was buried deep in my paperwork. That's why I consider it inspiration, because you can get it anywhere, even at work. Now, to explain my work environment a little bit, why this may have been a burden on my heart, because it's not just secular, it's not just in the church, it's the world in general. And if we can't identify it, we can't do anything about it. So we're just going to do a little identification today. Yeah, my place of work, I see so much of this wrong righteousness we would call indignation. It's a union-represented workplace. So many offended and frustrated people maximize their time with worry about what everyone else is doing, their poor performance as human beings, and they cannot recognize or will not recognize that the thing that is most irritating about everyone on their list is the very thing they see in themselves. It is the thing they don't like about themselves, and that is why it is so easily seen in others. Yet they refuse to recognize that in themselves. In James 1, verse 21 through 24, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away, and he immediately forgets what kind of man he was. See, the implanted word is referring to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the thing that is an integral part of a believer's life. This should be producing more than idle listening, which begs the question, is that not worship? Worship that leads to putting the gospel belief into action. See, the tendency is to be hearing and talking about it, but not acting upon it. And I do digress a little bit here. The focus is on self being more Christ-like, who he himself had demonstrated meekness and humility. And yes, at times, Jesus, we've got it documented, a little righteous anger. So I'll tell you what, when you think you need to be righteously angered, give me a call first, and I will help you. I have a guy that does that for me. I spew my righteous indignation to him, and he tells me exactly what I know he's going to tell me before I even make the phone call, and that's the end of it. I am unburdened and receive direction that is scripturally inspired, and I'm thankful, period. But that's just me. See, my nature is different from your nature, but only by degree. It is all the human condition, and it sometimes is harrowing to maneuver. I will give you that. But if we look in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. See, no one's better than anyone else. Maybe better at something, but not better than. The only thing is that those who follow Christ may be in a better place or better off, however we wish to say it, still not better than. Here's the deal. The only redeeming factor about me is the Redeemer that is in I and the I that is in the Redeemer. Don't shout me down. Romans chapter 3. I don't have the exact verse. This is regarding Jew and Gentile being alike. And it's referring to the same condition, being under sin. And it simply says this. I kind of snatched it right out of the middle. But it just says, there is no one righteous, not even one. See, the fall of man happened long, long ago, long before we were here. And not one of mankind in all of this time has been able to gain the traction to climb back up to the place of righteousness on their own. Only through Christ and by living according to the way, because Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, humans have no claim on it but through redemption. The redeeming blood and resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. So why is this topic of importance to you and me, you may ask? Well, I'll answer. We just celebrated the birth of Emmanuel, God among us. And there is a field white for the harvest, and the workers are few. There is a need, because God said so, for us to be about His business. Not just at this time of year, rather for the life that we have here on earth or until His return. So how do we do that? I'm glad you asked. Not to just live according to the Word, though it is important to know what the Word is. It is connecting with God the Father through the Spirit that He has sent us. His own Holy Spirit, which Jesus Himself told us would be our comforter and our counselor. To be led by the Spirit of God and not by the spirit of the world. To follow His Spirit to produce in us and through us, as it says in Scripture, much fruit. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's about being right in heart, producing better character to be more attractive in spirit. To be right, to be better, to be more attractive. I'd like to ask the music team up at this time. I did not promise this was going to be long. Matter of fact, I made no promises. See, the reality is we have not arrived yet. It's just the beginning. You've heard that once, you're going to continue to hear it until new hope doesn't exist. But the day you surrendered, even just a teeny little bit, that's not your arrival date. That's the starting line. You have so much to do, so much to learn, so much to be according to His will and purpose that you will not get done without the Spirit working in and through your life. Now, quite honestly, I could have just sat down and read this whole thing to myself because I needed to hear it probably more than anyone in this room. Because I am impatient. I do get frustrated. And I am tempted to lose self-control quite often. I just have to quote Jerry Seinfeld. People, they're the worst. You know, it's... everyone in this room has come up a different way, a different path, had this different instruction, different leadership, different authority in their lives, and so everyone has a different perspective. But you know, in this room, going back to what I had read earlier, we are to be like-minded. We are to demonstrate the same love. And we are to do something with what we've received so that we would produce much fruit. So yeah, the world kind of stinks. But that doesn't mean we get to behave like the world. We are called to be right. Whew, almost made it. We're called to be right. We're called to be better. And we're called to be more attractive. And that is done through the blood of Christ. So please, be encouraged today. I'm going to give you some the old Christian points. How we walk ourselves and walk others into the presence of God. As soon as I clear the frog out. That must have been a time release cry juice. Jim put on the mic here. Number one, remember that God has a plan of peace and life. God loves you and wants you to experience His peace and life. And we know this in Scripture, John 3:16 and 17. We could probably all say it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish. I need another drink. So whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send His Son into the world. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. But save the world through Him. Number two, being at peace with God is not automatic. The world has a problem. It's called separation. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Number three, God has a remedy. It's called the cross. The love of God for His creation bridges the gap between mankind and Himself. And Jesus paid our debt in full. 1 Peter 2:24, and He Himself brought our sin in His body up to the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By His wounds, you were healed. Number four, the greatest gift ever offered from anyone. It's from our great God. From the greatest love story ever told. Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. And that's Jesus speaking. Number five, the response, which is to receive Christ. We are allowed to cross the bridge over the gap and into God's family when Christ's invitation is received. In John 1:12, it says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in His name. Wait, there's more. There's number six. Our boast is in Him alone. In Romans 5:1 and 2 says, therefore, we have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. There it is. I have one more verse. This is Jude's closing verses 24 and 25. just says, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Please stand.
In the Hebrew language, there is a word, and that word is chesed. And it's translated peace, it's translated justice, it's translated mercy, it's translated grace. And some rabbis consider it the most important word in all of the Bible. And it's like a picture of a triangle. So if you would look at this right behind Robert here, it looks like a triangle. And at the top of that triangle is God. This side over here is you. And these lights represent the love that God has for you. This other side is everyone else. And the light going from God to them is that scripture. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Those lights are directional, and they cannot be changed. But what we do with that, our response, like Larry was saying, is do we love him in response to his love to us? And until this relationship is active, where the lights are going one direction down to us and back for the grace and the mercy that he has given us, if we receive that, we are then in relationship with him. And if we're not in a good relationship with him, him loving us and us loving him back, we cannot love everyone else the way God wants us to love them. It's got to be directional. And the thing is, when we love God this way, and we love mankind, everyone else, this way, it doesn't matter if that arrow is coming back to us. We are still supposed to love them, no matter what. But when we are in right relationship with God, we can be in right relationship with mankind, and that is the word peace, shalom. When we are operating that way, we have peace in our hearts no matter what goes on. No matter how they treat us, we still have that peace. Aaron had talked about it. It's a joy that we have. It's not a happiness, but it is a contentment and a joy because God loved us first. And when we do that, then we can be brighter. What are the three, Larry? Right, better, and attractive. You can't do that unless you're connected with him. It's impossible. It is impossible. It doesn't make us perfect, but we have an advocate. We have a counselor in the Holy Spirit that will help us with the things that we need help with. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word that has gone forth. I pray that we would walk in it. That it would not be something that we do, but something that it's who we are because of you, because of the relationship that we have with you. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We pray for Brooke as she evicts her little one tomorrow morning. And all the others who are still pregnant, Kaylin's still bringing up the rear there. But you know what? We have been blessed. Thank you, Lord, so much for all the blessings that you have brought into our lives. And I just pray that we would be mindful of being grateful, that we would choose to be grateful in all things, no matter what is going on. Because it says, you are the lifter of our heads. We thank you, Heavenly Father, and dismiss us now with your blessing, your grace, and your mercy. And everybody said, amen. You are dismissed. Have a great day.